All right, if you're saying that you don't know who that is, I will come to your house and smack you silly. Of course, that's John Coltrane with Blue Train. He's on tenor sax. Lee Morgan is on trumpet. Kenny Drew on piano. Paul Chambers on bass. Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is from a relatively new album. That is a compilation of some of Coltrane's most notable works titled John Coltrane, Supreme Jazz Master. It came out just last year. This is Lead Stories. I'm Utrice Lead, and today we're going to be talking about identity politics as you are experiencing it without possibly even knowing it, but there is a thing happening, and it's going to increase in intensity because people will be asked to bring themselves into one group or another for political affiliation. You see, things are happening. And speaking of which, the death toll, the confirmed death toll, in the Surfside collapse of the condominium building there is now up to 16, and they continue to try and locate bodies, whether living or dead, in that complex. And it will become a very important reference point for us because we will be talking about things that are clearly illustrated and demonstrated in this major tragedy that have wide implications all over the country. One of them, I'll just give you a hint, is about the sprawl that will now occur in many areas, including and perhaps especially in that area of Surfside, because there's no place else to go. The real estate greed was so pronounced, it was so treacherous at a certain time. Anywhere they could find a square inch of land, they put something on it, whether it was advisable or even logical to do so. The fact is, they were after making lots and lots and lots of money. So you had buildings being erected in conditions that no sane professional would go ahead and build. But there was a lot of money, a lot of money. Now this is a wake-up call, a major wake-up call. And it isn't the only one that has happened across the country. But we will find out as we proceed with an analysis of what is happening or what is about to happen, you find that people and builders and the real estate industry and a whole bunch of folks affiliated with it are now looking very hard at where to expand. And likely the answer is you expand to adjoining or adjacent communities. Ding, 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 ding. Did I ring a bell with you? If the communities now occupied, they are overcrowded, overbuilt, and therefore the land is basically giving all kinds of hints that there's just too much resting on whatever land they laid claim to and started to build on, they now must expand, not too far from the sea, you understand. Not too far from the sea or the beach, but they're beginning to explore annexation. That means communities are going to be absorbed, i.e. attacked, i.e. taken. And it is not accidental. When you look at a map, look at any map, and you see the juxtaposition, whereas these communities now exist on the sea or by the sea, near the sea, and it's a lot of money involved on so many levels. For safety's sake and to protect their investments for the future, they have to look for literally safer ground. I know in the case of Miami, where that ground is, you don't have to guess. That ground is in Black and Latino communities. And it is not the only example. It's all across the nation, in places where you have all these seaside or beach type communities that were erected years ago, and now people are finding that the ground is sinking or that the water is increasing, they're becoming inundated by the very beach that they flock to, and now they want to be close still to the beach, but just not on it. But whatever they do, they have to expand. They have to get close to the beach, if that's still a major issue, and it is, because there's a lot of money involved in that in terms of real estate value and so-called quality of life. But now they physically have to move, and they have to contemplate picking up residency close to the beach. And that means many communities that have been written off by racist fiat will suddenly become so valuable that there's going to be a fight, a major scramble for that land. And this is the case in Surfside. All of the communities practically that are close to Surfside, within eyeshot of Surfside and its sinking properties, are properties now occupied by people of color. And it's not only in Surfside. It's in South Carolina, it's North Carolina, it's in Georgia, it's in almost every state. The desirable properties that have been developed were developed at the expense of other properties that were written off. And now people are beginning to say, oh, well, we have to consider the future value of our property and the future of the lay of the land. We, no matter what we do, we have to contend with the fact that sea levels are rising, property values are going to be threatened, and we love being near the water. That adds value to the properties that we have. And so it makes sense to take a look at places nearby where we can just expand our lifestyle, but not move too far from the beach. Take a look at any map practically, and you'll see what I'm talking about and where the likely expansion is to occur, because it will occur. Right close to Surfside it's just beautiful land, nice and flat, and unfortunately occupied by people who they don't have an aesthetic for the beach, you see. They don't know how to live on the beach. And it is great land. Expect major fights all over the country for land grabs in order to expand for the future, because all over sea levels are rising. The land where they've built these gigundous entities, and they've had to build them close together because the properties, the land itself was just so expensive. And so to maximize their profits, they jammed a whole bunch of buildings together. And now they're saying, oh, but the land is sinking. What do you expect? You know, it was a beach or waterlogged community for centuries. You expect it to be rock solid at this time? Come on now. Logic, use your brain. So that is to be the fight. And people might as well start getting ready for that fight. Public housing is just going to be obliterated. Move that out of the way. And let's get some real citizens in here who can carry the tax burden of this new community that is going to be built up. So watch out for it. We'll follow it. Certainly. Today, I want to ask you about your sense of national identity, whether you have one or not. And how do you see yourself at this point in our collective history as Americans? Americans. How do you see yourself? And it relates to how we see the nation in us and us in the nation. It sounds like a simple question, but it isn't. It's a very complex question, because so many things go into the consideration of identity. And we talked about identity not too long ago. What is this thing called identity? Pretty soon, if not already beginning, we will have a resurgence of this notion of identity. It is going to be very important for a number of national, political, social, and economic initiatives. Why? Because these things are all based on merit, quote unquote. Are you entitled to participate? Are you entitled to benefit? Are you a real American? What does that mean? So we are going to discuss that. I'm asking these questions so that you could think about the answers. And if you haven't before, start thinking about these things now, because in the very near future, it's already begun in so many ways, but it will be a pronounced element in how we function as a society. Why? Because there will be discussions and determinations all over the place as to who gets the bennies, who gets the benefits of things. And how do you get the benefits? What have you, or what will you have given up in the name of God and country? How do you qualify as an American? What is that supposed to mean? Do you feel American? Do you use a qualifier even now to describe your American identity, such as, I'm working class. I'm a working class American. Just what the heck is that? I'm African American. And is that a religion? Is that an identity? What is that? What is that supposed to mean in this day and age? I'm a first generation home owning American. Wow, I'm impressed. You know who you are. That's good. But get this, most people don't care. And they do not assign any special designation in terms of your owning a home and being American. I'm a war veteran American. Well, good for you. So how come you're having trouble paying your rent? There is a yawning gap between what we envision ourselves to be as Americans and what we think we deserve from that designation, whatever it is we put on ourselves, and this notion of being American, which had an entirely different meaning not too long ago. And in many cases, depending on what part of the country you live in or go to, it still exists. You can't go to some parts of this United States and talk about you being an American. You can't. You're starting trouble. You don't look American. You don't have blonde hair and blue eyes. You can't possibly be American. You don't drive a pickup truck with a big flag waving in the back. So people have some ideas still, and they are becoming more and more desirable in terms of public expression of identity. Because you're telling people in so many ways what you believe you are entitled to, and also what you believe being American is. We're going to have big fights over this question. Because especially in the age of Joe Biden, about whom there are many questions in certain parts of this country, he's a liberal. Well, that automatically, he's not American, not truly American. In some parts of the country, you don't want to say that too loudly, that you support Joe Biden and his administration. That's not a good thing to say. What you do instead is that you convey your notion of Americanism through all other kinds of things. The hat you wear, or the boots you have, or the religious beliefs that you follow. Joe Biden is Catholic, you know, like Kennedy. It's like the big fight part two. So we are going to come to this question through your analysis and your expertise and experience with this question of what does it mean to be American, and how do you feel? Do you feel it in the first place that your identity needs some tweaking, mostly because of what you're hearing out there about what you're supposed to be feeling and doing as an American, the way other people see you? Are you really an American? 888-874-4888 is the number to call. The question will arise more and more as the benefits of being American are doled out. People are going to have problems with some people receiving benefits that they think they did not earn. These benefits should go to real Americans, real supporters of America, people who signed up and enlisted in the Army or the Navy or the Air Force, people who have, quote, conservative values, and willingly and loudly proclaim them. What is this thing now that we are encountering about being American? 888-874-4888. Could you give us some pointers from your own experience? Do you believe yourself to have come up against some static about this notion of whether you are truly an American or not? Because you're too liberal, you're too encompassing of other cultures and so forth. And you ought to be conservative. That's what an American is. An American is a conservative person. God and country. And you don't seem to be too enthusiastic about either God or country. Not the way they expect you to be. And you're receiving some flack. It's going to get more flacky as we go, because now, hinged to the notion of identity, a national identity, a political identity, would be what people consider to be the benefits of membership in certain groups and categories of our society. Like I said, even the president, he's a Catholic, and that does not fly in much of America. It just does not fly. 888-874-4888. Let's hear what you have to say out there. Are you American? Are you sensing that your identity is coming more and more into question? And are you being forced or encouraged to re-examine your own notion of who you are in order to placate people who think they know better than you who you are? 888-874-4888. This is going to be a very important question as we go, because society has its own momentum, I should say. It goes where it feels it needs to go, because people are responding to signs. They're responding to cues as to what's the best way to go. In this thing, I come back to Surfside. The time when the people started settling in that area, it was like a membership club. People had, or they shared a common culture. They shared a common religion. they shared a particular notion of what they were entitled to, and they had it all. They got it. They shared this notion of how to be represented and what should people do. They shared all of that. And so it was an exclusionary community as well. It included people who had membership because they identified with a culture, they identified with a religion, they identified with economic status, and they had these things in common. Now they have to expand, they have to switch up a little bit. And it is so clear where they're going to expand or where they believe they'll have to expand. And all around communities of color, which means they're coming under attack pretty soon. So if people don't understand how these things are interrelated, then they get surprised every time and they lose the argument every time, because they're not being proactive, they're not reading the signals well, and they're not preparing their communities for proper defense. 888, where are you? I don't see anybody up there. 888-874-4888. What is this identity that you have right now? And do you think it is being challenged, or it will soon be challenged? You'll be forced to revise something. You'll be forced to take heed that if you stand firm where you are and you're comfortable with it, that you also have to be prepared for challenges, constant challenges, because society is changing all around you. And their views are very different. And because they have the numbers, they have organization, they have the political system working in their favor, they may just push you out of the way and push people like you out of the way. And this is what happens in this particular society all the time. Henry from Chicago, you start us off today.
Hey, Trees, how's it going?
Okay, how you doing?
All right. Just hanging in there like everybody else is.
That's right.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting question, and I believe you know, we talked about this before in regards to identity and your question about are we Americans? Now, speaking from the lens of a black man, on paper, yes, I'm American, but in essence, me and other black people in this country are technically not. We don't enjoy the benefits, well, the full benefits of being Americans like some other people do. We understand that this country was based off of people, the beneficiaries of this country are technically white, male, rich people. And so when we look at, you know, the identity from the formation of this country and in regards to, and I'm just specifically talking about, you know, black people because of the fact that, you know, we have taken the most, you know, the most abuse out of all of the other non-white people. Not to say that the other non-white people in regards to Native Americans and Asians who have migrated here have not taken, you know, the abuse and terrorism that we have, but it just seems like ours kind of lingers along. But then again, also too, we have a section of people, of us who really believe that we are, you know, Americans in it, and that really we can achieve this so-called American dream of, you know, living here peacefully, being prosperous, raising families, and it's just, not, you know, not true in a lot of sense. And not to say that there are some of us who somewhat have, you know, somewhat prosperous life, and even those people still fall under the lash of racism. It's not, you know, we don't have the benefits of achieving that full status of being American. Now, like I said, technically, you know, we on paper we are, but you know, at the same sense, you know, our identity, according to history, is not really rooted in Americanism, and this is the problem we have when we're talking about the reparations argument. And you know, we have, you know, certain people in the what they call the ADOS camp who really really hang on to this issue of us being American because we built this country. And you
I just
know,
want
I
to interject:
no.
ADOS is African descendants, the American descendants of slaves, I should say.
Yes, yes, American descendants of slaves. And going to the argument of African slaves who built this country, I don't argue with that. But then again, you know, an ant can build an anthill, but a human can come along and just knock that knock that off, you know, in one split second. So just because, you know, my ancestors helped build this country does not really entitle us to the country, because obviously we were forced over here to build this country. And we were forced over here, but not actually reap the benefits, you know, of what we built, you know. So this is a very, it's a very interesting issue. And like I said, it also plays into the reparations argument because, you know, I think too many of us are trying to forge an identity through the reparations argument instead of trying to forge an identity, you know, just as an established, you know, just being an established identity, unlike, like, say, other non-white groups, you know, who have established, you know, who have previously established an identity, and it permeates through their way of living. See, and that's the problem that we have. We have to establish, and that, like I said, not to say that I'm against ADOS, but I think their argument of establishing this identity through the reparations argument is, to me, kind of backwards. I do believe that we have to establish an identity as descendants of African slaves, but not through an argument of, you know, give me my check and then I can, you know, and then I can be a full American. And we all know that even if they do give us reparations, we're still not going to be full Americans.
Okay, well, you got us started today. I imagine we should get quite a bit of reaction from what you have said. Thank you so much, Henry, for your contribution today.
Thank you.
Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Oh, good afternoon, Utrice. Excellent discussion. Hello. Glad you brought it up, in fact. I'll riff on this topic a little bit. You know, one of the phrases Americans love is people love to talk about who I am, as if that phrase means anything, or if they could possibly answer it in any kind of valid way. Most of what is true or obtains about us, we either don't know or are unwilling to admit. So, but, you know, I think we can ask, though, you know, what do we do? Where do we come from? That may get us somewhere toward defining what an American is. Well, what are we? What do we have in common as Americans? Well, we're the offspring of metropolitan annihilation and destruction, you know, segregation for all kinds of reasons, the war, the capitalist war of all against all, of the conflict of each and every individual with every other individual, or you lose the game, you know, a system governed by fear, the compulsion to produce, profit of one person to the detriment of everybody else, to the division of people into men and women, red and yellow and black and tan and young and old and sick and healthy and foreigners and we Americans and the struggle for status and prestige. That's where we come from. From isolation in little individual row houses and suburban concrete cities and prison cells and asylums and special classes and special units and media brainwashing and consumerism and psychological punishment and corporal punishment and, of course, the ideology of nonviolence, which is the only thing we're allowed to think, which means, of course, when you accept that, that you are ruled by a semi-hereditary ruling class of corporate managers who masquerade as your protectors. So you come from depression and illness and degradation and humiliation and just accepting the debasement of human beings all over the world, 'cause we're all exploited by this imperialism. And we just accept it, and we accept it so we never have to face the necessity of actually struggling against it to the point where we destroy this rotten system and replace it with something that actually honors humanity. So that's who we are. That's what it means to be an American. Who wants to look at that? Nobody.
The silence is deafening.
Right. I find it deafening every single day. You know, I mean, living means possessing. This is our lives. And so we accept, and worst of all, we accept these empty symbols as realities. We don't deal with people anymore. We deal with machines that mediate our knowing people or knowing anything about them. This is who we are. Not all this nonsense we're fed in the school system and the ridiculous media, Johnny one-note news every day. Everything's fine. Go back to sleep. No reason to be concerned about anything. Go back to the grind, to your fascist job every day. Accept whatever degradation every 30 seconds is imposed on you. Just accept it. It's normal. And everyone does, and it's not a matter of race or class. They all accept it, and we teach our children to accept it. I think we're literally mad. That's what we are.
Mad, you say? We are mad.
Yes, I think we're basic. This is an extremely corrupt, sick society, and it starts at the top. Of course, that's the most glaring example, but it filters down to the rest of it. To the extent that we buy into this monstrosity, we support it. None of us want to accept that. None of us want to accept that. And your political party doesn't help you. Your religion doesn't help you. Your race identification doesn't help you. Your class status doesn't help you. None of it helps you. None of it. Until you take a look at this thing for what it really is and what its real effects are. You're living a nightmare. We can do something about this. This nightmare does not have to obtain. There are all kinds of historical examples in front of us of things we could do to change it if we're smart enough to understand that anything worth doing is hard and it takes time. But we've been trained over many generations to be children, to have low frustration tolerance, and, oh, if it's hard, somebody else should do it, or it should happen by magic, or my rhetoric will fix it, or if I just follow the spoor of a politician or some symbol, this will fix it. It's all delusional. I don't know why. I really don't know why adults can't get 3 minutes, 10 minutes alone to figure this out. It's not hard. Just look at it. I'd be interested in your thoughts on this.
Hopefully you have started that by, you've triggered in the minds of many, hopefully, a desire to examine what you say very closely. And more than that, to begin the journey of self-discovery.
And if I may, just briefly, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out briefly, this is just an aside. Occasionally, some of your callers are nice enough to mention that I have some sort of, they think I have some sort of professorial air or something. I don't. I'm completely self, I'm an autodidact, I'm self-educated. I have taught in so-called educational institutions at their request, but not because I have a degree. I've never been to college. I wouldn't go under any circumstances. It's indoctrination. Educate yourself. Education is not something anyone can give to you. If you don't do it, you don't have it. It's that period. It's that end of the story. This is just another one of the myths that there are people who are educators. No, they're not. They're not. School is something fish do. It has nothing to do with learning. It's indoctrination. If one fish swims one way, they all swim that way.
Thank you so much for your call today. Very
Thank you very much,
Eutrice. Pardon the pun, but very instructive indeed. Thank you so much. Brother David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Yes, I want to get started on this real quick. As far as I'm concerned, technically, American is anyone who's eligible for American passport. So that takes care of that. However, when we think about this, we have to think about what is really American. And what is, in my mind, is that we live in a place that was first taken over from the indigenous people and with ethnic cleansing and genocide by the Maya monarchy, and then with the revolution taken over by the upper classes, the ruling class that has ruled America from its very beginning. So even though we have this technical idea that today that citizens are Americans, this place is run by the very successful situation that those who rule and run the country, and they have a system of divide and conquer based on phenotype. So the people who run things here have a certain phenotype that came from Europe after thousands of years when people went from Africa to Europe and various places. And this is the group that runs the country. And they run it through their various means of government, their corporations, and that's what we have here. Now, when people think about Americans, we also have to think about two things, and that is, number one, caste, and the other one is class. So the top caste is the quote-unquote white caste, where all the people who have that type of look, the phenotype from Europe in that caste, regardless of the class. And we need to take note of that. So you can be the poorest little so-called white person, but you're in the caste with the white people, with the people who control are in that white caste. They run this country for their benefit. The people we call black people are in the other caste, that's a lower caste, and even the lowest caste person in the white caste is above those black people in the black caste. So you have a divide and conquer situation, a caste system set up, and a system that is set up to benefit those in the ruling class, and it's the most effective caste system and control in the world. It controls the country, and it controls things all over the world, and that's what we have. So that is the way I see it. To be American, it's very simple. If you can get a passport with your name on it, but the point is that doesn't mean that much, because that's not the way that the country is run. It's not run in the interest of the people who live here. It's run in the interest of the ruling class, which is in the top caste, the white caste, and it runs the country, and it runs a lot of the world. So that is the way I see the classification system of what it means to be American. So the point is, they have done a fantastic job because they're able to rule by divide and conquer so well that a significant number of the people who live here can be poor or have nothing, don't know where they're going to get their next meal or where they're going to live and whatnot. And the top of the ruling class that runs the country can be rich and powerful, and yet they are in a situation where many people do not understand the system they live in. And that's what we have. If you go to a school, to me, much of what you learn in school is propaganda and information that gets you to contend against other people and divide and conquer and have obedience or go along with those who rule, even though they're ruling against your interests. And that's what we have. People are supporting a system of rule that is not working for them. So that's the tragedy of America. The people support a system that doesn't benefit the masses of people, but enriches the ruling class to outrageous degrees.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much. I don't think it should come as a surprise that we will continue this discussion tomorrow, because there are so many points of view on this question, and I think we ought to put it out there in the open and encourage people to talk about it, because in the end, it is at the root of what we call a national identity. We keep saying and we keep implying that we have one, but we don't. We have a whole bunch of different identities, except that those with power are able to overpower those who don't have access to getting their words out about what they're feeling. But we'll continue this tomorrow. This is a very important discussion, and it will become all the more important as we go along. There are going to be developments, and we will think they're coming you know, from left field somewhere as a big surprise. But they really are not surprises. If you continue to keep an objective eye on things and how the society works, how it develops, you can pretty much predict what is going on. Like I talked about at the beginning of the program, what is the next move in Miami? The next move will be the absorption of lands that now are not considered, that they don't even consider the people living adjoining their communities, but they want the land and they're going to get it. They're going to go after it and employ all kinds of tricks in order to just dispossess them. These communities are already being seen as dispensable. They're just holding the land and keeping it available for when the moves are to be made. But have no illusions about it. That's going to be a big fight, not just in Miami, all over in New York City, in Georgia, everywhere. There's going to be this fight. What has happened in Florida has given pause for people to rethink this, and they have to get ahead of it. They don't want to wait it out. They need to start thinking and moving now. And so communities that are just, you know, they're accustomed to being just pushed to the side, they're preparing to just suffer a little bit longer. But this is going to be a big fight, definitely. So we'll see each other and hear each other again tomorrow on the same subject. It is a very important subject, and we'll see what you're thinking. Thanks for joining me today. Bye-bye.